Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to God's house this morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house with His people this morning. Next Sunday, several of us will be a couple thousand miles away as we travel to Honduras on Saturday. So be in prayer for us. We had a good week at camp this past week. Good to be back home. Had a great time with the kids there. Some decisions that were made there. Thank you for the church sending us on the trip and for the prayers that y'all offered up for us. We're going to open our service this morning with My Savior's Love, and then we'll sing three verses of that, and then we'll do our welcome song right after that. So good to see everyone. Let's stand as we sing together this morning. Special welcome to everyone this morning. If we have any visitors, welcome to you especially. Welcome each other as we sing, "Oh, how He loves you and me."
Oh, how He loves you and me.
You may be seated.
Good morning, folks. We welcome you today to Blairland. I'm glad that you're here for our services this morning. We welcome those who are joining with us by Facebook and YouTube, and those who listen by way of radio. We welcome you to our service today. I'll be preaching today from Matthew 16. We'll be going back to the life of Peter. And I'll be talking today about the question for our day. We'll be talking about that from Matthew chapter 16 and the question that Jesus asked Peter and the other disciples. So may we pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for those who are here today. And we just pray, Lord, that we would open our hearts to you. We thank you for the privilege we have of worship. We thank you for the fellowship that we share with you and with each other. I ask today, Lord, that we would honor you in all that we do and all that we say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Deacons will meet today at 4, but we'll meet here in the MAC. So deacons will be meeting here in the MAC today rather than in the fellowship hall. So remember that, please.
Thank you, Pastor. We're going to continue with the theme this morning of Jesus' love for us. And we sang that this morning as we opened our service. We're going to continue with that theme. My Jesus, I love thee, and without him, I could do nothing. So you join in with us as we continue our song service this morning.
Jesus, oh Jesus,
Do you know Him today? You can turn Him away. Oh, Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be.
Great song about how lost we would be in His sacrifice for us. We're going to continue with that theme. We introduced this song a couple of weeks ago, What He's Already Done For Us, and we're going to, it's entitled What He's Done. So we're going to ask you to join with us. Stand if you're able to stand and join in as we sing What He's Done. Carrie will have the first verse.
Savior bled for me, my Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from His side, no greater sacrifice.
What He's done, all the glory and the Son, my sins are forgiven, my future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. Sing for the freedom He has won, even death is dead and overcome. Speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the grave. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. Heaven. I praise God for what He's done. Now, on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete. He reigns in victory.
Seated. We praise God for what He's done for us. As our pastor mentioned, his sermon title is the question. And how would you answer the question if someone asked you what you believe in Jesus Christ? This song is entitled The Believer's Creed, and it's what we believe in Jesus Christ. So you join in with us as we sing The Believer's Creed. Thank you.
everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe.
Heavenly Father, we do believe that there is no other name by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. There's no other name that can heal. There's no other name that can save. And one day every knee will bow before and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We believe that. We thank you for your love for us as we've sang about. We pray that we would show more love for you each and every day. Open our hearts as we receive your word this morning in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. Matthew 16 for our scripture reading today. The question for our time. Jesus had taken the disciples about 120 miles north of Jerusalem. And here at this location is where we find the question for our time. This was at Caesarea Philippi where this question was asked. And really what it was a final exam for the apostles. This was the climax, I think, of the teaching of Christ, of his ministry, what he came to do. And so now he's going to find out from these disciples, from Peter and the disciples, the apostles, what they really believed about him. What we believe about Jesus Christ is foundation to our faith. What we believe about Jesus Christ is foundation to Christianity. And it really is what sets Christianity apart from all the other religions of the world today, what we believe about Jesus. The reason this question is so important to each and every one of us is because what we believe about Jesus Christ really determines where we spend eternity. And so it is a question that we're all faced with and we all need to ask and we all need to look at. In Matthew 16, verse 13 is where I want to begin reading today. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You know, these are challenging days, but they are also days of opportunity for us. And I really do believe that this is the question that is facing the church and every individual today. Who is Jesus Christ? And who do you say that I am? This is a question for us. Now, what the issue of this question is simply this. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do we believe about the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the issue in this question that is asked. It is the most important question that we'll ever face in life. Who is Jesus Christ? It's a question that every person must face. So our Lord knew the tendency here. He knew the tendency that what we do at times, we move to popular opinions about issues and we leave our personal conviction. But here's what we find here in this question today, in this passage. First, there's the question of public consensus. And then secondly, there's the question of public conviction. Now, public consensus is this, it's opinions. It's what people may, opinion they may have about something or some issue or whatever. So we'll deal with that first. The question of public consensus is seen in verse 13 here. Who do men say that I am? Now, let me ask this. Does Jesus know all things? Yes, he does. Did Jesus know the public opinion about him? Yes, he did. Did he know what people thought about him? Jesus knew all that. But he's dealing with this question here of public consensus. And there's a reason for that. Really what he's trying to do here is he's really going to drive home the point to the apostles. It doesn't matter what public opinion is. What matters is your opinion. What do you think about me? So they answered him, and they gave him four answers that was pretty much the public opinion of Jesus of that day. They said, they answered him, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say that you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And that is the classic answer of a public opinion. And really, not much has changed since that day about the question of Jesus Christ and who he is. So as we think about the public opinion here, we think about this question and we think about how they dealt with it in that day and how we deal with it today. Now, this question speaks of two things. It speaks, first of all, of compromise. The people who hold the view of public opinion and public consensus today about Jesus Christ, here's what they believe. They believe that all roads lead to heaven. They believe that any way can get you to heaven and all roads lead there. Basically, what they're saying is that Jesus is only one of the ways that a person can have salvation and so forth. They believe that you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And so that's kind of the public opinion that's out there. But what about the other issue here? It's really of political correctness. There is a doctrine that is taught, and you know theologians talk about this a lot. But what it is the doctrine of universalism. Now what that says is this. That it doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter what your commitment is to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter about the cross or resurrection or anything like that, that eventually everybody's going to get to heaven regardless of what you believe. And like I said, that's pretty much public opinion today. Now, that's pretty much what a lot of people think about Jesus. But the most pointed question in the Bible is seen in Acts 16, 30 and 31, by the Philippian jailer. And in that passage, he asked this pointed question. And he was asking Paul. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul gave him the answer. Paul said, what you must do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And so, you see, there's nothing, you know, unclear about that. That is straightforward. John Killinger, I've mentioned him before. He authored a book in 2002. And the name and title of that book that he authored was 10 Things That I Learned Wrong from a Conservative Church. Chapter 3 is entitled this in that book. The third wrong teaching is that Jesus is the only way to God. This is a direct quote by him. Baptists and other dyed-in-the-wool conservatives have this thing about Jesus, that since the incarnation 2,000 years ago, that he is the only way to God. What he said in his book was that we were arrogant, and people that hold that view just, you know, were prideful, and we just don't give room for any other way. And he said this, he goes on to say this, he says, I don't think it's necessary for people to have an experience with Christ in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. But again, we come back to the standard for our faith and practice, and what is it? It is the Word of God and the words of Jesus and what Jesus taught and the teaching that we find in the Bible is where we come back to, regardless of what public opinion may be. Acts 4:12, this is what the Bible says. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What we believe about Jesus influences our behavior, but it also influences our belief. It influences our behavior in what we believe about Christ. It influences our behavior in what we believe about missions, evangelism, reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, why go to Honduras if Jesus is not on the only way? Why do we do what we do here on Sunday if Jesus is not the only way? I mean, you've got to look at it that way. There's a thought that I had here too. That is this, that we stand on the solid ground of Scripture and not on public opinion when it comes to the issue of Jesus Christ. Because He is center and He's the focus. And on Jesus Christ, that's where our foundation is built. And what we believe about Him and what the Bible teaches about Him is very important. And so now we move to the most important question here in this passage. And that is this, it is the question of personal conviction. What is important here is not what other people say. But what's important here is what do you say? You see, in the original language, the emphasis is on the first part of the sentence in the original. And what it says, you, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And so that's the question that Jesus is asking all of us today. That's the question that all of us are faced. It's a question that we have to face. It's a question that we cannot ignore. So who do you say that I am? John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, these are the words of Jesus. So we're to take the words of Jesus over popular opinion. We're to take the words of Jesus over what somebody's idea might be about who He is and what He came to do, and His miracles, His life, all those things. See, that's the foundation. The life of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of our hope. It is the central doctrine in Christianity, what we believe about Jesus Christ. He did not say that He was one of the ways. He did not say that it was hard to come by any other way. He didn't say that. He didn't say nothing like that. But what He said is that the only way to the Father is through Him. That's what Jesus said. Lee Strobel was a journalist for a paper in Chicago before he became a believer. Now, his wife was a believer. She became a believer. But Lee was a devout atheist. And when he would write articles for the paper, it was obvious that he was one who did not believe in God. So what Lee decided to do was to set out to try to disprove the Bible and Christianity and Christian faith. But the more that he got into it and the more that he studied the actual facts and truth about the Bible and Christ and what the Bible teaches, he became more convinced of the Bible being true and the life of Jesus being exactly what it was that He came to do and what He said and what He taught and all that. Now, eventually he became a believer. Since that time, he's changed his opinion about what he believed about the Bible and Christ. Of course, now he is a strong believer in Christ and the Bible. But here's what Lee Strobel said. He said that the verse that really bothered him more than any other verse in the Bible was John 14:6. And I read that verse a while ago where Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to God. Lee said that bothered him. He said this, and this is a direct quote. It was the statement I found most offensive in the Bible. Strobel goes on to say, it's one thing to claim to be a way to God, but the way, he said, that sounds pretty intolerant. And I want you to know today that is the red flag that we fly as Christians before the world today. To say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That He is the only way to God. But that's what's implied in this question today. Who do you say that I am? I know what public opinion is, but I'm not concerned about public opinion. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm concerned about what you say. What do you say about me? Steve McSwain is a pretty famous liberal. He's on the circuit of a lot of college campuses and different debates that people have about Christianity and the existence of God and the Bible and so forth. He wrote an article in the Huffington Post. And in this article, he said, people ask me all the time this question. He said, people ask me all the time if I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, that he's the only way to heaven. And so he goes on to answer the question this way. Is he the only way? McSwain said this, he is my way to God. Now get it. He is my way to God. Is he the only way? Well, he said, he's my way to God. Is he the only way? I don't think so. And really, that shows you what popular opinion is today about Jesus Christ. People think they can get to heaven on their way. Or whatever my belief is, or whatever my way to heaven is, that's how I'm going to get there. And so that's just reflected of the day that we live in. That's why this is the question for our day. This is the question that separates what people really believe about Jesus Christ. This, I think, is the majority view that we find today. What about Oprah Winfrey? Here's what Oprah said. She said, one of the biggest mistakes, now listen to this, one of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe that there is only one way. Actually, there are many diverse paths leading to what you call God. So, that's popular opinion. But again, it comes back to personal conviction. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The word Christ really is, the word Christ in the Bible is not really a proper name. But what it is, it's a title. What Christ means is, you are the anointed one. In the Old Testament, when you read about Messiah, well, the word Messiah in the New Testament is Christ. That's the Hebrew in the Old Testament. Messiah. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's translated Christ, Messiah at times. You see it that way. But what Peter was saying is, here's what we believe. We believe you are the only way. We believe you are the only truth. We believe that you are the only life. We believe that you are the anointed one. You are the sent one from God. That you are the Son of God. And we've talked about this, how truth really is narrow in math and history and science. It is narrow. And here's what Jesus said about truth. In Luke 13:24, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. And so that's where we find the truth of the Bible. Now what I want to do is do some research on this, and I'll share this with you, and then I'll be through. And thinking about popular opinion and thinking about personal conviction when it comes to Jesus Christ, I tried to research what do Americans believe about Jesus. And I wanted to get current information about what people in America believe about Jesus Christ. Number one, the vast majority of Americans, they do believe that Jesus was a real person. So most people believe that he was a historical figure who lived and who was a real person. And doing this research, I was kind of surprised at this. But I found this in doing the research, that belief, and this poll was just released last week by Barna and also by Gallup, that belief in the United States has dipped to 81% of people who believe in God. Now, that's still the vast majority, but it's a decrease. In 2017, 87% of Americans believed that there is a God. And so but here's the alarming thing about the statistics. It's decreasing. Belief in God is decreasing. The second thing I found out was this. As far as generations go, the younger generation is less likely to believe that Jesus was God, that He was the Son of God. Third thing I found out was that Americans are divided on whether Jesus was sinless or not. You say, what's the big deal about that? If He was not the sinless Son of God, then He was not God. If He was not the sinless Son of God, then His sacrifice on the cross would not guarantee salvation. He was the sinless Son of God. But what we're finding is that a lot of people believe that when Jesus lived on this earth, that when He lived His life here, that He did sin. And that's not the teaching of the Bible, and that's not the life of Christ. Another thing I found out was that most Americans say they've made a commitment to Jesus Christ. But to say what that commitment is really lacks a lot. But most Americans say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But as far as trusting Him as personal Savior and everything, that's different. What the poll did reveal, though, in this issue that really, I think, speaks to a lot in our culture today is this. The more affluent, the more wealthy, the more liberal a person becomes in their views, the less likely they are to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And I think that was a very telling commentary on the culture that we find ourselves in today. And then another thing is that people are conflicted when it comes down to how a person gets to heaven. And what they're conflicted on is this. Good deeds, good works will get me to heaven. You know, Jesus is okay, but what gets me to heaven is good works and good deeds. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. So let's bring this conclusion. The most important question today that we face is not the one of public opinion. It's not whether people are right or wrong or in public opinion, issues like that. But the most important question is, what do you believe? What is your personal conviction about Jesus Christ? When I enrolled at New Orleans Seminary, Jeff mentioned about singing the credo today, the creeds that we believe in. When I enrolled, one of the things you had to do was to write out your credo. You had to write out your creed about what you believed about the Bible, about God, about Christ, those type of things. When you graduated, you had to do the same thing. Now, the purpose in doing that was this, kind of to see how much you've learned, but also to see if your opinion had changed. My opinion didn't change. And I want you all to know today that in the arena of our culture, in the arena today of public opinion, what you believe about Jesus Christ is going to be challenged. It's just like Daniel when he went to Babylon. It's just like the three Hebrew children, all the exiles who went into Babylon. They were challenged, they were belittled because of their belief about God, their belief in the Bible, their belief in Scripture. You're going to be challenged, you're going to be made fun of, you're going to be belittled, but stand on your conviction of the Word of God and what you believe about Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is very important. What you believe about Jesus determines heaven. It determines you for eternity where you will be. And so it's a very important question. It's a question, like I said, that is very critical to our day. If there was another way, if Jesus is not the only way, then why did God the Father send him into the world? Why did he suffer what he suffered? Why did he go to the cross? Why did he do all of that if there was another way? And folks, the reason he did it is because there's not another way. There's one way. That is Jesus Christ. You know, one day what we're going to do is pass from the temporal here to eternity. One day we're all going to stand before God. And just like those apostles who faced this question and who faced that final exam that Jesus gave them, who do you say that I am? When we stand before God, we're going to face that same question. And here's the question he's going to ask us. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? That determines where we spend eternity. That is the question of our day. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? If you never put your personal faith and trust in him, you need to do that today. Let's stand for our time of invitation. Lord, we thank you today for your word, and we thank you for the scripture that we have before us. And Lord, today we just pray that we all would answer this question of personal conviction, and that we would come to know and believe in you, and to trust you, and to affirm our faith today that we believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, for those who have not made this personal commitment, I pray that they would do that today. For those who need to be saved and trust in you, I ask that they would just take that step today. Lord, we thank you for making a way to heaven to us. And Lord, we thank you that you've opened the door to salvation. But we know that the door to salvation is through a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And I ask today, Lord, that as believers, that we would just reaffirm our commitment to you. For those who need to trust you today, may they come and say yes to your offer of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am.
Appreciate you being here today. Appreciate your attendance. Go this week in God's love, his grace, and his mercy. And we just thank you for your faithfulness to him and your personal conviction about who he is and what he came to do. So God bless you all today.
Thank you, Pastor. As we close, we'll sing, Lord, you're more precious than silver. Dismissed.